This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And it's been a busy day for your boy already, as I was a little bit earlier today at the Mystics introductory presser, sat down with their new head coach, Sidney Johnson, new general manager, Jamila Weideman, and great conversations with both of them. They'll be up in our podcast feed and at Hoffman W Sports on YouTube later on this evening. And we're actually going to play the interview in full with Sidney, the new head coach, coming up at 5:30. We'll get back to football here in about 15 minutes, less than that, really. Chris is going to pop back in. Yep, more Rooster for everybody. We got the Rooster coming back in because he was going hard on Zach Ertz being the Commanders' most important free agent to re-sign earlier today. So we will talk to him about that and then get to some of your list of who's most important for the Commanders coming up at 4:30. But I actually want to start today talking about the press conference that I was at. And if you're not a basketball person or a Mystics person, I think you'll still find the next 10 minutes fairly interesting because really, it's not about specifically what was said today to the Mystics next year, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. We have, as sports fans in DC, over the last two years, been on kind of an odyssey of team building. And we've seen different methods, different focuses, but also a lot of crossover, I think, between the Wizards and the Commanders, and now the Mystics are officially in on this as well. The Spirit have kind of rebuilt on the fly. The Nationals are ongoing in their rebuild. So we have been in this bizarre place where we are just surrounded as sports fans, no matter what your favorite sport is, basically, unless it's hockey. And even then, like, the Capitals had to do some shifting. I don't know if I use the word rebuild, but like they had to obviously shift some things around, and that group got it right. They're currently one of the best teams in the NHL and are steamrolling towards hopefully a deep run in the playoffs. But we'll see how the back half of the season goes post All-Star break. But for the Wizards and the Commanders, who are certainly two teams that we talk about the most on this show. I don't want to say most popular and upset, whether it's Nationals fans or Capitals fans, whatever. But certainly the Commanders are the most popular team in town. And then the Wizards, basball is certainly, no pun intended, like basketball has been my favorite sport forever. And kind of how I came up in D.C. as much as anything, was covering that 2016 Wizards playoff run. And I know how much D.C. is a basketball city. Like, it's been really fascinating to watch because, you know, Michael Winger, who you'll hear from actually in a moment, and Will Dawkins on the Wizards side have been constrained by the bounds of the NBA and their roster situation. And that doesn't allow them to quickly pivot. Pivoting in the NBA is really, really hard. and takes a lot of time until the exact moment where you can make that big move or you win the draft lottery, and then all of a sudden it goes from this this very long-term marathon to some level of sprint. Look at, 2 years ago, San Antonio's in this rebuild, accumulate assets. They win the draft lottery. They get Wemby a year later at the trade deadline. They're training for De'Aaron Fox. Like, it happens fast in the NBA. And in some ways, the NFL can be a little similar. It just so happens that we picked up the team-building process in a year where the Commanders have the second pick in the draft in a generational quarterback draft where there could be multiple Hall of Famers in this thing. By the time it's all said and done, certainly prospects with that kind of ceiling in Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May at the very least. Obviously, the Falcons think that Michael Penix is that kind of prospect to take him with the top 10 pick and on down the list. So to hear Michael Winger specifically, who I think is the biggest combination of thoughtful and expressive about team building speak today, I thought was fascinating and something that is going to be interesting to any DC sports fan, any sports fan, period. And Michael, I will say this, first of all, Michael is a brilliant writer. It actually makes me angry. I'm like, how are you someone who's very smart about basketball and all that stuff, and then, you know, the three times a year that you hold press conferences, the four times a year you hold press conferences, you come out with this folder of paper and a script, and it's like the best written script I'll hear all year. And I'm a guy who, okay, I don't write a lot for this show, but sometimes I'll write some stuff down and I'm like, damn, that's some good writing. But Winger comes out and he talked about, you know, obviously some of the core tenets of the franchise. Some of those have some real crossover with, obviously, what the Wizards are building. You know, he's not going to be like, oh, in the WNBA or in the NBA, we believe in joy and competitiveness, and we think everyone should be miserable and non-competitive on the WNBA side. Like, of course not. There are certain things about how he thinks about the sport, and I think sports in general, and team building that are universal. But those factors, the way it played into their search, was pretty fascinating. And Michael Winger specifically honed in on some of the characteristics as they think about this ever-evolving landscape in the WNBA. And this was kind of a theme today between the multiple conversations I had. The league, it's a very scattered league. Like, the NBA is very homogenous. You have a lot of teams that are trying to chase shooting three-pointers. That is the entire sport. We're going to play fast and shoot threes. And there are teams doing that in the WNBA, perhaps no one better than Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever. They played super fast last year. They put up a bunch of threes, and they doubled down on that with some of the acquisitions they made this offseason, where they have players that are going to help them play fast and contribute in the three-point realm. And they re-signed Kelsey Mitchell and to go with Caitlin, who's kind of her run-and-gun partner. And there are other teams, you know, the New York Liberty win the title with three players who can all be super versatile, kind of chasing that versatility where Jonquel Jones can be a big inside or shoot threes at 6'5". Breanna Stewart might be the most versatile player of the entire game. Sabrina Ionescu is a guard who's a premier shooter but also does a lot of other stuff. And then you have a team like Las Vegas, who was the two-time defending champions going into last season, built around a almost old-school post type player in Asia Wilson, who in many ways it's like San Antonio, which of course Becky Hammon, their head coach, has San Antonio Spurs ties, was built around Tim Duncan for years and years. So there's different ways to go about it. And because of that, Michael Winger wanted to give himself some level of flexibility as he made the hires that were ultimately announced today.
We determined that we would over-index happily on a few key things. The first was extreme intelligence. The second was a depth of connectivity with professional athletes as performers, as people, as daughters, as partners, as moms. And the third was an intimate knowledge of the why and how to impact and develop the women behind the jerseys. It sounds a little altruistic, and for us it is. Between the lines, we care about athleticism, skill, competitiveness, timing, and force. These are the things that we think win basketball games. But our athletes spend 90% of their lives outside the lines, and that 90% has an enormous impact on the passion and the quality of the time that they spend, the 10% between the lines. And that means a few things for us.
They were big on that. That's kind of their thing on the Mystics side is the 90-10. 90% of their lives, they're going to spend not playing basketball. So how do we help contribute to the 90% that the 10% is better? And of course, it makes me think about some of the stuff they said about the Wizards and many of the same things. And where they have players who are like, hey, I know we're losing like crazy, but like at least it's a good place to work. You know, we're happy. Our families are taken care of. Like there's just stuff that we don't have to worry about that allows us to be our best. But it also makes me think about the Commanders, where a lot of the things that Josh Harris was able to do much more instantly was fix some of the stuff that, for instance, Dan Snyder didn't care about. Dan Snyder didn't give a rip about players' families. He didn't care at all. Josh Harris was like, we need to make sure that players have a place where they can meet with their families after the game, seats where they know that their families are going to be okay and taken care of. Like, it is a priority for us because making sure that that stuff is in line. And that also goes to like the quality of the food, the availability of mental health professionals or medical consultants on physical therapy, or in a clip that I'm not going to quite have time to play here. Jamila Weideman, the general manager of the Mystics, talks about if you don't have a sleep consultant for your team in 2025, like not only are you not serving the players, but you're not maximizing their ability to perform because sleep is so vitally important. And so I think it's interesting to watch the things that executives in sports talk about now, because, and Adam Peters talks about it differently. Dan Quinn talks about it differently, but it's a lot of the same tenets. Their emphasis in the NFL and the way they go about it as football guys, like they talk up the intensity and the competitiveness side more, but those are tenets that they talk about on the basketball side too. And they do talk about caring for guys and building relationships and the brotherhood. And to hear the new Mystics leadership, for instance, talk about the sisterhood they want to develop, and Sidney Johnson in the interview here at 5:30 talk about the sacrifice that he's like, I don't want to use the word demand, but really it's demand from the players in order to give up a little bit of yourself for the betterment of the team. It's a lot of the same stuff. And I think ultimately, if I think about like, okay, well, what's my job? My job is to, you know, give my opinion on all of this. They're all about the right things. And I think something that really clicked for me today, I don't want to pretend like this is profound, like it clicked for me today in a profound way, but something that clicked for me today in a big way was ultimately I'm at a point where the executives in charge in this town, I feel really good about their ideas. It's in some ways a time to make a shift in the evaluation of them to go, how well are you actually acting upon those ideas? How well do you ultimately execute the things that you say that you're about? And it's too early to tell on the basketball side of things, obviously on the football side of things, what a job they did in year one as we prepare for offseason number two under Adam Peters. Again, you'll hear from Sidney Johnson. That interview coming up at 5:30. Next, though, Chris Russell hops back in as we discuss some of the biggest moves that Peters has to make this offseason.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. My headphones just get really low. I was like, I can't hear myself. It's because I apparently turned down my headphones. I'm a radio professional. Speaking of radio professionals, Chris Russell is with us. What's up, Rooster?
I don't know about that, but I'm with you.
Chris, I know it's not much, but do you get paid?
I do, yes.
Okay, then you are by definition a professional.
And you are correct about your assumption.
Look, I can't imagine our numbers are terribly different, yeah. And we'll just leave that there. We're both by definition professionals because we get paid.
Yes.
That is what it means to be professional, at least in the definitional sense. It's the light. I looked terrible.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I got the new haircut. I got to make sure I look as good as possible on the YouTube stream, you know?
No, you look fine. You look dandy.
Thank you. Thank you. So I don't want to put words in your mouth. So I want to make sure we start off from the correct point here. You were going on X and on, I refuse to call it X, Twitter. And I'm assuming you talked about on the show as well about Zach Ertz and his importance re-signing. And this thought was spawned in some way by the Travis Kelce news, which may or may not be relevant. But what's the baseline that we're operating for that ultimately lands with the thing I want to talk to you about, which is Zach Ertz the most important incumbent free agent for Adam Peters to resign?
So, I mean, I use the Kelce thing as a springboard because he's undecided, right? And
because you're a radio professional and that's what we do.
Yeah, and so, you know, you take a newsy item and then you localize it, right? So that's what I tried to do. And, you know, and at first, before I double-checked, I thought maybe Andy Reid and Zach Ertz had crossed by a year, and I was like, well, if Travis Kelce retires, maybe that might be a spot that Washington would perhaps have some competition for in terms of Zach Ertz. But then I said, overall, I said, regardless of that, and they did not cross, they missed each other by a year. I said, regardless of that, to me, Zach Ertz, his presence, even at 34, for him to play 17 regular season games which he had not done in two seasons combined, the previous two preseason or regular seasons, and then to play all three postseason games. And sure, he got knocked around a couple of times, but he made some huge, huge catches. We all know this. Down the stretch, second half, red zone, just a reliable third down, everything. I mean, everybody
fourth
knows,
downs,
right?
By the way, too. Absolutely. Like, I think he was literally the leading receiver in the NFL on fourth downs this year.
Correct. And a couple of them on that first drive in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. I said, look, I understand he's not likely to be 17, 20 game healthy again next year. I understand injuries happen. I understand he's 34. But on this team and this offense, Craig, and I think you'll agree, he's pretty damn important when you have four receivers that are free agents. And even if you bring a couple of them back, you still don't have a true number 1A or 2, and I'm not saying Zach Ertz is that, but you need that because you don't know where Ben Sinnott is. And John Bates is a free agent.
Right. So I would say a couple things. First, just on the health front, Logan and I got the chance to talk to Zach for a podcast in July, August, sometime. Actually, I think it was July. I think it was right before training camp, like the week before. I think he had like just reported, but they hadn't actually opened camp. Anyway, the point is, we talked to him and I, you know, asked him, how you feeling, whole deal. And he's like, honestly, man, like this is the best I've felt in years because unlike the previous couple of seasons where he did not play full seasons, those compound. If you finish, because it's like, when did you get hurt? And he finished seasons hurt, meaning he had to spend part of his offseason rehabbing, not actually really preparing for the season. You're just trying to get back to a baseline, and he didn't really get to where he wanted to be. Nevertheless, could he get any better or add something to his game or polish something that needed polish? It was just, can I get healthy enough to be on the field? And he entered last offseason healthy, and he's like, this is a game changer. And sure enough, he goes to play 17 games. And I would say that's relevant for not only Zach Ertz, as you think about him going into this season, he finished the season healthy. Excellent. You have a full offseason. But when I think about, so, you know, how do we apply that concept to other people that are potentially available? Cooper Kupp is healthy. Cooper Kupp has not finished a lot of seasons healthy as of late. And he has had a couple seasons that look like Zach Ertz's prior couple seasons. So is he going to be prime Cooper Kupp for the Rams or for whoever the Rams trade him to, whether that's the Commanders or not? Certainly not. But could he play a lot more games because he has finished a season healthy? Yes. Is that something that impacts how I feel about potentially getting Cooper Kupp? Sure as you know what does. And I think that a guy like Kupp, I bring up not just for the injury coincidentally or coincidence, but I think they need someone in the Zach Ertz role. And it's got to be a vet, and it's got to be someone Jaden's going to trust. And there is no one better to fill the Zach Ertz role than Zach Ertz. I agree with you. If you don't get it, you need someone who's going to be able to win one-on-one matchups over the middle of the field, reliably get open. Kupp is certainly a guy that can do that. There's probably a couple other guys available if I looked at a list. But I think that, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Zach Ertz does not seem to be broken.
Yeah, and I had mentioned on the show, I said you could do a much better job breaking down all the different routes and whatnot that, you know,
it's not that hard. He runs in routes, he runs out routes,
sit downs, you know, whatever.
Seven, yeah, right. He's got a great feel for space. Like, it really is not that hard.
I know
for
people are going to say he falls down right after the catch. I know people are going to, and some of the metrics, obviously, I can't ignore. It's not like he's taking off and he's Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates in his prime or
27-year-old Zach Ertz.
Exactly. But he's reliable. I understand he had a couple of drops. I got it. I understand he fell short of the sticks against the Steelers. I got it. I understand that. This team would not have made it to the NFC Championship game without Zach Ertz, period.
No.
Period. And Jaden Daniels would not be as good. This is not to criticize Jaden Daniels. He would not be as good without Zach Ertz, period.
He would not have had the rookie season he had because he had a reliable target and, you know, the ability to extend drives and all of those things. And there's a reason that he was their number one go-to guy on fourth down, and he led the NFL in the fourth down receiving. I think the other side of this equation, like the big question for me on some level with Zach is like, okay, well, is he then in Ben Sinnott's way, and what does that mean? And I just don't get the sense with how the season went that like they're obviously high enough they took him as a second rounder. I wonder if they already have any kind of regrets. That's like too strong, but I don't know what the other word would be about that. Because if a guy's a second round pick, shouldn't his role theoretically expand throughout the season?
You would think.
And they would, you find, if a guy is killing it in practice and he's as talented from a physical standpoint as Ben Sinnott, you find ways. I know people are like, oh, he just got urged. He got, you know, he wound up behind a better player. The sport's too hard to be like, oh, well, we'll just throw guys out there.
Right.
Like, you're always looking for an advantage. These guys are cutthroat. And I think that if Ben Sinnott had shown more to them in practice, in meetings, in whatever, I don't know where in that equation there's something missing, but it's very clear to me that something was missing. Now, being a rookie in the NFL is hard. He could come back next year and be perfectly fine. And if that's the case and they feel confident in that with the offseason or their end of season conversation, then you have to be wary of not blocking his development and opportunities. But again, I don't know that that's the case. I would probably think about bringing back Bates as a blocker, Ertz, and then you go from there. And if you have four tight ends for next year, and Sinnott, I'm not saying you're going to cut Ben Sinnott by any stretch of the imagination, but like bring in another guy who's got that skill set that Sinnott has to compete with him, a stretch the field type of tight end.
Right.
Like that is something that would not surprise me. And I think if something like that happens, draft or free agency, that tells you a lot about where they feel that he is.
Yeah, and to me, I would bring back Ertz and Bates as well. And kind of like thinking about you, I had to do a free agency preview for Command Post Magazine, which is a Rick Snyder-run production, available via subscription. And I was like, well, look, I mean, there's not a lot of sexy names on the list, but I'm not spending a lot of money at the tight end position to improve that unless Bates and Ertz price themselves out, which I don't think is going to happen.
Probably
now,
not.
The one thing
maybe
that
one of them does. Like maybe Bates gets a sweet deal from somebody and you're like, look, you're an awesome blocking tight end, but like we can't spend that much.
Right.
And it depends on, because the other thing is, I don't know which role Sinnott fits more into. Is he more, because like he doesn't have the quickness of, like he's a different kind of tight end from both of them.
Right.
He is the guy that will get up the seam and stretch the field. Like he's a long strider, but he's not necessarily the guy that's going to win with quickness in the short area and like be that reliable, you know, pass catching tight end on third and seven that gets you eight. And this is, by the way, a loaded, not free agent class, but draft class at tight end.
Right.
So that's a funky equation to try to solve as
well. What they tried to do when they drafted Cole Turner in the early part of the fifth round, what, 3 years ago?
I think so.
Grabbing somebody with athletic traits like that, that's primarily maybe, assuming that you get Bates and Ertz back along with Sinnott, and don't forget Colson Yankoff, obviously, can develop too. We'll see about that. But if you can find somebody in the fifth, sixth, seventh round area that has those athletic traits that maybe you can develop in a good offense, in a better system, what have you, with plenty of protection around him, and obviously a better quarterback situation than you know maybe Cole Turner had to deal with. If you can do that, that's ideally what I would like to do. I'm not spending a lot of money outside of trying to retain Bates and Ertz. And if you ask me, you know, listen, it came up on the show. I don't know if you want to get in here. You know, like to me, I said the top three guys ideally that I would like to retain from this free agent class of the Commanders back to the Commanders this year is Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn. You can number them however you want. I haven't really exactly prioritized them, and Tressway would be like 3B or whatever. So those are the guys, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody will, you know, maybe Adam Peters will say it differently. Maybe the market will make that decision for them. I mean, obviously, I'm not going crazy on a 3-year deal with Zach Ertz for, you know, $7-8 million a year. I mean, we're not talking that. We're talking maybe a 1-year deal with an option year or a second year as a dummy year or what have you for a reasonable amount of money. I don't know what's reasonable. $5-6 million, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, probably. Five is the number I had in my head, but you know, we'll see. Like, I also don't know that I would let $1 million get in the way of me and my quarterback's best friend last season, our second best friend, if you want to say Terry was first.
Yeah,
certainly is that, his number one safety blanket.
Is that crazy? What I said about the free agent retaining group?
No, I think those are the three guys I think I have targeted. But Chris, you have, because you're a radio professional, actually led us directly into our next segment, which is where I'm going to open up the phones at 301-230-0980. Again, 301-230-0980. That is exactly the question that we are asking. Ooh. Like, who is your top person? And you know, I'm going to say before I give my final answer, there might be someone I'm forgetting about. I'm sure if that's the case, the callers will let me know. I'm sure they'll do it very very gently. That's the nature of things.
Sure.
I know they're very, very gentle with you as well.
Oh, yes. Very.
So we're going to take your calls at 301-230-0980. Next, Chris, thank you, sir, for sticking around.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate you.
The Chris Russell Show is 1 to 4 here on the Team 980. Check him out tomorrow. If you want more Chris Russell right now, I guess I won't get too offended, but the podcast is available. All right, we'll be back with your calls next. The phone number is 301-230-0980. You can also hit us on the YouTube chat at the Team 980 where we are streaming live. Anthony, we probably should have not put a call-heavy segment in the rundown today. That this might have been a production mistake. When I say production mistake, I don't mean to say you as the producer of the show. Collectively, production mistake from us. There is nobody on the roads today. The entire everything got shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sure there are people out there listening somehow, some way. Some of y'all are listening on the Odyssey app. Whatever. I don't know. I'm as fast as I can getting to the YouTube stream to see if there's folks chiming in there because I feel like we might have some audience there because folks are watching from home. We got some folks chiming in there, so we'll get to those comments in a second. But people that are driving down the Beltway calling into the show, I don't know that they exist today.
Yeah, and I should have realized that, too. It only took me 30 minutes to get to work today. Usually it takes me about 45 to 50. I might, you know, sit in some traffic, and I had none of those concerns.
No, it was a weird day. And by the way, we will talk about what we said we're going to talk about in a second. 301-230-0980. We'll talk about it amongst ourselves, and then we'll take your calls if folks are actually going to call in. Also, Anthony, did you grow a foot, or did the camera get knocked where you look a lot taller?
That's a great question. I don't think I grew.
Okay, you want to angle your camera up a little bit? Or I'm like, did I get shorter in my little box on my side of the screen? Yeah, let's angle that. Nope, other camera. Yep. Nope, not that one. There we go. Now we're moving. Okay, now if you lean back into your normal spot, that's more like it. Definitely some of it. Anthony has for the radio audience, has a beanie on, and it's got the palm on the top. So he definitely is taking up his space, his head space in the camera shot definitely is a little bit more, a little bit off.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, driving.
Yeah.
Driving. Where I'm currently driving the show off the road, theoretically speaking, metaphorically speaking. But I was talking with one of the people who also covers the Mystics today, because I was at that press conference, and she was telling me that getting into work was terrible. Her getting to Capital One Arena from this part of town, from south, was brutal. And like for me coming from north of Capital One Arena through DC from where I live, wasn't that bad at all. And the streets were not only clear in terms of paved, and they did a great job with the salt and everything, but they also... like nobody was driving, like dead ass empty roads. Saw like six other cars driving to Capital One Arena at 10:15 a.m. this morning. It was great for me, but I don't know how great it's going to be for the show. What? I think it's so bad that we just had someone call in and then they hung up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he went. Maybe his phone. Maybe he got another call.
Maybe. Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'd be like that. All right. We'll see if we get some calls next. 301-230-0980. In the meantime, also, I should tell you, Mike Jones from The Athletic is going to join us at 5 o'clock. Talk about the Commanders and the bigger picture of the NFL and some final thoughts from Mike and his week in New Orleans. But let's see. You go back and listen. People talking about Ben Sinnott. Sinnott regressed as the season went on. He needs to show more in year two. I'd rather spend our money in the trenches on both sides of the ball and wide receiver. Ertz will be cheap and serviceable for one more year. That's the thing, is like importance and cost don't always necessarily go together. Like I do not think that Zach Ertz, one, is going to cost like some exorbitant amount. He was very good, but there's not going to be 20 teams that are like, oh my God, we have to sign Zach Ertz. two, I don't know how many other places Zach is going to want to play. Like, if you're Zach and you made the comments you made after the season, which we assume come from like a pure place, right? And you're like, I wish I was 22 so I could play the rest of my career with Jaden Daniels. And I could redo my career, basically. A guy who might go to the Hall of Fame and is like, I would rather just do it all over again with this kid. How many other places are going to give him that? Like, he's made a ton of money. And he will continue to make money. Like, Zach will go into media, or Zach and his wife, Julie, who's a soccer Hall of Famer. You probably know Julie Hertz, multiple-time World Cup winner, etc. Like, they will have a life after football that can be lucrative if they want to on the speaking circuit. Like, Zach Ertz, financially, going to be just fine. So if he's playing football, like, not to be screwed, it's not like he's going to be like, well, in that case, Adam, just give me a league minimum deal and whatever's best for the team. But if they pay him a $5 million deal, $6 million deal, how many other places could pay him that amount of money and he'd be like, I'm going to be happy here? I think if, like, Philly would be interesting. I don't think they're going to be interested in him, but, like, going back to where it all started, and obviously they're a Super Bowl favorite. He was in Detroit at the end of last year. I don't know whether he wants to do that or whether he'd probably just assume stay here. If, like, Cincinnati came calling and they're like, hey, we need to find another weapon to go with Jamar, that could be an interesting type of thing. But he's a West Coast guy. He's an Arizona guy. So I don't think he wants to go to some random East Coast city. Like, I think he came here because of Cliff. And so ultimately, like, that's the thing. If you're talking about Zach Ertz specifically, is what did he say last year? I want to play for Cliff the rest of my career if I can make that happen. There's one thing. Cliff is here. Two, he would just assume start his career over at 22 years old and play with Jaden Daniels for the rest of it. He only gets that here. I don't think there needs to be a number three. But he, like, enjoyed the community. You know, he just had his twins were born here. Their second and third child were born here. And, like, I'm sure they have some level of routine here during the season. I'm sure they'll go back to Arizona or California or wherever they want to go during the off season. But, like, it's not like he's got to find a house or whatever. Like, they have their place here, I presume. It could probably sign a second year on their lease or however they're doing it. So it just, I guess what I'm saying, Anthony, is I feel like Zach Ertz will be back.
I think he'll be back as well. Especially just going off, you know, what he said at the end of the season last year. The fact this team was on the up and up. The fact last year was really supposed to be a year where it was supposed to be a down year, essentially. And the success we had. I do think if he does come back, though, this actually might be his, like, last ride kind of thing.
Maybe.
And, like, again, like, nobody knew we were going to, you know, have as much success. So I just think just that alone, the quarterback we have here, the owner we have, the head coach, those four things, like.
I'll add one more for Zach specifically. He's got a ring.
Oh, that too.
You know, he was on the 2018 Eagles. And so I think if you are him and you don't have a ring and, like, you're just playing because you're chasing a championship, you don't care if you don't play a snap, you want to be able to lift the Lombardi one time, okay, that maybe it opens the aperture of options. He's already got one. I think if he desperately want a second, of course, but do you want to just go anywhere for the second, or do you want to do it with a group of guys that you genuinely love and you know you're going to enjoy the process? I think he's probably in the latter camp. It's Hoffman Show. We're on Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, there is another report out today about another Commanders incumbent free agent who is the most likely to get not another one-year deal, but a potential long-term deal in Washington. We'll tell you who and who reported it next on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too. At the Team 980. Who are the top Commanders incumbent free agents that you want to see back in 2025? That's our question at 301-230-0980. And Mark in Largo is going to get us started. Mark, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Craig? How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. What's so funny?
All right, that's good. No, because I know, I think you know where this conversation is going to go. But anyway, the people they need to bring back is Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, Mariota. I mean, you could bring back Achias. I would bring him back before I bring back Deami Brown. I'm just not a big seller in Deami Brown. I think he's going to command a lot of money because of his playoff performance, and I don't really think he deserves it. And that's about it on that part. I do have a request, though, that I think they should do as far as a receiver. And I don't mean to do this. Craig, I really, really like you. I really do. But the conversation we had 2 weeks ago, today, by the way, we really should revisit and get DK Metcalf. I know you hate him. I know you do.
I don't hate him. He's not worth it.
Yes, you do. Well, okay, but you would pay the money for
Mark, don't tell me how I feel. Don't tell me how I feel about another human being. That's weird.
Okay, I'm sorry. But T. Higgins, you would pay the money for T. Higgins, who's not durable.
That's not what I said. I said if I had to pick between the two, I would pick T. Higgins. But I don't have to pick between the two, and neither does Adam Peters, because they don't live in this very silly hypothetical world that you apparently live in, where you have binary choices as opposed to an entire free agent market.
That's fair. That's fair, Craig. But let me ask you this. Let me throw this out at you.
Okay.
Don't you think people like Garrett Wilson, people like Deebo Samuel, I'm not saying they're going after those guys, but they're similar to Terry. Don't you want to get someone that's different than Terry?
Hold on, Mark.
I look at A.J. Brown.
Mark, did you just say Deebo Samuel, Garrett Wilson, and Terry McLaurin are similar players?
The size, the body structures.
What does that have to do with anything of how they play?
Because if you have two guys of the same ilk, you're going to have – look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a guy that's 6 foot that can run and fly in Devontae Smith, and you got another guy that's just a brawler in A.J. Brown. They're two different types of receivers.
Yeah, but like Terry and Deebo are incredibly different types of receivers just because they're the same size. How? Deebo's a slot guy who's better with the ball in his hands. Deebo's not even, like, he's half a receiver. He's a space player. He's a gadget guy at his absolute best. Terry is a bona fide X receiver who just happens to be a little bit undersized for a traditional X receiver, but he's a vertical threat down the field, comebacks, goes, and also is just an absolute behemoth on slants, and he's a contested catch guy. The exact opposite of a space player.
Let me ask you something. Would it piss you off if they do make a trade for DK Metcalf?
Piss me off? No, I just don't think that would be the best use of resources, nor do I think they'll do it because I don't think DK is their kind of guy.
Jesus Christ, you sound like you're Kyle Shanahan now, man.
Was that supposed to be an insult?
No, it's not an insult, Craig. You're a very good guy, and you know what you're saying. I just think you need guys that's going to scare that defense. The Eagles have a dominant defense. They got a dog for defense. Now, if you want to go get Deebo Samuel, and you want to get Garrett Wilson, and line him up.
When did Garrett Wilson enter this equation?
The Eagles go right ahead. But I think DK Metcalf would scare them more than anything else. You're sitting up here talking about personality. I understand that. I get it. I totally get it.
Do you? Or do you just want to yell on the radio?
No, I'm saying, Craig, you got to look at your competition. You got to look at your competition because somebody else will get DK. And if we're going to be stupid. But look, it's okay. It's all good. We both have different opinions, and that's fair. So you have a good one. Thanks, man.
Hey, that was a spirited debate, man. You guys are...
Was it, or did I just, like, not really say a whole lot other than some bare bell bones facts about these players, or I guess you want to call them opinions on these players, and then he just really wanted to yell at me about DK Metcalf?
I think he was just really trying to get across to you that, you know...
He thinks DK Metcalf is scarier to the Eagles than a bunch of other players that are, I don't want to say they're better necessarily, because like, I don't think Deebo Samuel's a better player than DK Metcalf. They're just very, very different.
Yeah.
People, DK Metcalf is a do-you-know ball test. If you know ball, you know that DK Metcalf being 6'4", 230 pounds, and 3% body fat while he somehow eats Skittles is not how DK Metcalf plays. And some people literally cannot get on that. You've never turned on the film. You've never actually watched him play outside of like four highlight plays where DK decides once a quarter to use his big body. He plays like a small slot receiver or a small... You want to know who he actually plays a lot like? He plays a lot like Devontae Smith, who plays way bigger than his size, but somewhere in the middle of Devontae Smith and DK Metcalf is the receiver that they both play like. A 6'1"-ish, really fast type of player. With Devontae's got way better hands. But, like, Terry plays bigger than DK. And then people want to argue with me about that. Like, I don't make them play that way. I just have actually, you know, watched the tape and listened to experts and who know even more than I do. And I don't know why Mark wanted to yell at me about DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, it's more so like consistently, like he's not physically imposing his will on people like as he should. Like,
no, like he's not a great contested catch guy.
That too.
Which seems, hold on. Let me see if I can look this up real quick. Keep saying what you were saying, Anthony. I shouldn't have said hold on. I should have typed in silence. My bad.
And then, I mean, I think in the run game as a blocker, you know, he is very physical, or he can be. But again, down in and down out, we want a guy that's going to be consistent. And I don't necessarily know if that's him. And you also bring up the fact that, you know, he's not the greatest, just, you know, pure hands catcher or just catcher of the ball in general. I think that is a bit of a concern. So I don't know. I mean, when he asked me if I wanted DK, I was like, man, it'd be cool, but also the money that he's going to demand.
I don't want to give up draft capital and have to give DK Metcalf a new contract where he thinks he's going to be one of the highest paid players in football.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
If he was Chase, if he was CD, all right, I'm all the way in. I don't mind paying that kind of money, but I'm not just about to just pay DK Metcalf. Like, he's a good player. He is a good player, but
yeah, I'm not telling you DK Metcalf's a bad football player. He's just not the football player that the people that are going to the mat for DK Metcalf think he is.
Yeah.
Trying to find contested. Do you know who has contested catch rate? Contested catch rate.
PFF.
I was looking at PFF. I didn't see it.
33rd team, maybe?
I don't. Let's see. There's a PFF article on Terry. Do they have the... Dun, 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 dun. I don't see it. I'll see if I can find it in the break. Anyway... Yeah, I'm out on DK. We'll have the Debo conversation maybe later in the show. We will get the latest on how those trade markets could develop from Mike Jones of The Athletic next.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.